Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Unusual, pretty strange this morning. I'm going to preach a message that I've already preached to you. I'm going to preach a message for the second time, and we're not talking about a message that I preached back in 2015 when I first got here, almost 5 years ago now, that you wouldn't remember anyways, and a lot of you are newer to the church, so you wouldn't have heard. I'm going to preach a message to you that I preached last month, first week of May. Pastor Ryan, why are you doing that? Well, it's been a busy week and I didn't have any time to study this week, so I just pulled. That's not the reason. Well, some of you weren't tuned in and you were on your couch in your pajamas, distracted and falling asleep. That's not the reason either, although that may be true. And I'm missing some, but I see Herman Rodriguez and your family here. Herman's part of the LAPD, and I know it's been a very, very tough week or two. Appreciate your service and glad that you're here. And I know one of our only Godby got called up to the riots with the National Guard, and then his dad, it looks like, is about to go to heaven. So they gave him leave from that. He was there for a few days. He's in Northern California. You pray for Lee and Sarah and the kids, if you will. I've known his dad for 32 years, I guess, and looks like he'll be going to heaven anytime now. But if there are other law enforcement that I'm not seeing, and I've forgotten, I just noticed Herman when I was talking there, I apologize, and I'm thankful for all. We have several in our church this week that have been on out protecting our cities, and I'm thankful for that. But why am I doing this? I'm preaching this message again because I believe it is exactly the message God would have for us this morning in light of all that's been going on in our world in recent weeks and months. It's interesting how God works. Almost a year ago right now, I looked at it. It was the first Sunday of June 2019. We started a brand new series entitled Church Simplified, verse by verse, the book of Acts. A year ago, June, we started that, and God knew exactly where we would find ourselves. I've preached 28 messages in the book of Acts, verse by verse. God knew exactly where we would find ourselves today in our world and with the coronavirus and with all that's taken place with the death of George Floyd and that senseless killing, and then some of the things that came after that and some of that outrage, and we talked about some of that last Sunday, and God knew exactly where we would be the first time that God knew that we wouldn't have gathered for 3 months, and we would be back together, and I would be right there looking to go back verse by verse through the book of Acts, and so approximately 8 months before any of us had ever heard the word coronavirus, God started us on this journey in this book. And he knew exactly where we would be in his word. And then on May 3rd, about a month ago, I preached the 28th message in this series. And that was exactly 22 days when I preached this message before any of us had ever heard the name George Floyd. We couldn't have imagined the pain, the outrage, the attacks on police, the destruction of buildings and stores, the loss of life that would await our country over the course of the next month or so when I preached this a month ago. So I preached that message on May 3rd, and the last three Sundays we've not been in this series. This week, as I often do, and really last week, I began to read ahead, and I've already read through the entire book in preparation for the series, but I always start to read over and over again the passage where we're going to be, and we're supposed to be in Acts 11, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 10. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. There isn't one in front of you, so if you don't have a Bible, download an app real fast, and we'll be in Acts chapter number 10. And what I often do when I'm getting ready for the next message is I go back and I look at the previous message that I preached and I read through it to give my mind to give my mind context, remember where we've been. And some of you say, you can't remember what you preached last week? Neither can you, so don't look at me that way, all right? And so I go back and I read back through my notes. I read back where we've been. I'll go back and look at the previous passage, look at the next to make sure that I'm preaching the new text in context. And I was struck as I did that by how powerful and timely the truths of that message on May 3rd were and how applicable and relevant they were for the events that we didn't even know were going to unfold and the events where we find ourselves today. And so as you hear today's message, and I did throw one or two new things in here this week to apply some things, but I want you to remember, and you can go back online and listen, that I preached this exact message May 3rd. Every slide you see except for a social media post that I'll show you a screenshot of and a map, every other slide was a slide that we showed on May 3rd. I didn't say, what's happening in the news today? Let me craft this message for what's going on in our world. This is where God led us by his sovereignty and providence 12 months ago when we started Acts, where he led us to be in the month of May right here. And I'm gonna teach and preach this message again this morning entitled, In, Then, Through. In, then through. Again, this message was preached weeks before anything that we see, and it's a great reminder that God's word is timeless. It's relevant to what we face today, and God knows exactly what we need when we need it. What do I mean by in, then through? Some of you are like, that seems kind of familiar. Like, I was sitting on the couch, I was eating breakfast, and I remember Pastor saying those words, in, then through. Maybe some of you took notes and you've got them in your Bible. We're going to see in Scripture this morning in our study in Acts that God must work in us before he can work through us. Before God does something big through us and around us, he has to do something big in us. His private working in our lives always precedes his public working through our lives. It's what we see here in the book of Acts. And as I preached a month ago, I said, I believe in this year of 2020, God is doing a deep work in many of us. Why? I believe it is because he wants to do a deep work through us as we come out on the other side of all of this season, this first half of the year. I believe God wants to take our church to the next level in gospel impact. That's the title of this series of Acts 10 and 11, when God opens a new season of gospel impact. I believe God wants to take us into a new season of gospel impact in Orange County and around the world. But first, he's going to have to take us to a new level in our personal spiritual lives. We find our text in Acts chapter 10, where we've spent three different Sunday mornings in Acts 10. And this, as a reminder for all of us, and I see some that are guests, you weren't here for the other messages on Acts 10, a reminder of the context. Acts 10 is where, for really the first time in human history, the gospel goes forth in mighty ways to the Gentiles. I can't take time to review all of this, but a reminder for all of us that there in the book of Acts at that time, there were in that area three groups of people. There were the Jews. Those were those that had the Abrahamic covenant, that promise from God, the Jews. There were the Samaritans. You've heard of the Good Samaritan. I was born in Good Samaritan Hospital in San Jose, California. The Samaritans, we think of a Samaritan now as good because of that parable. In those days, the Samaritans were a hated people. They were half-breeds, is the way the Jews looked at them. They were half Jew, and then it was the Jews that had gone into captivity and married those that were not Jews, and the children they had, they were looked down upon. Look at those half-breeds, those Samaritans. And then there are the Gentiles, those that are not Jews. Sometimes you'll see in the Bible, Jew nor Greek, meaning the Gentiles. That's the three groups of people, the Jews, the Samaritans, and in our context of what we're reading, that's the three groups of people in these passages. And what happens in Acts chapter number 10, We are years after Pentecost. Christ has ascended back to heaven. And what happens is Peter is going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, an unthinkable thing for some Jews. He's going to bring the gospel to those that have been looked down upon, those that have been looked down as dirty and unclean and dogs. He's going to bring the gospel. And we see in this passage God confronting Peter's prejudice and dealing with biases and long-held beliefs that were counterproductive to the gospel. The name of the Gentile that is going to have the gospel, you'll recall, maybe some of you, the Roman centurion, Cornelius. He was a good man. He was a Roman. He was not a follower of God, but he was trying to be. He was wanting to know more about God. And he had kind of left the religion of his childhood, and he was following after God. And you can go back and read the beginning of chapter 10, but Cornelius is in his city. He is in his town. That Roman, he's up there in Joppa, he's there, and Peter is down my brain is not working. He is in Caesarea, Peter's in Joppa. That's why it didn't sound right. Cornelius is up in Caesarea. I showed you the map during one of those messages. And Cornelius, God says, send some of your servants, go knock on a door, find a guy named Simon the Tanner, call for Peter. So that's where we're at in the story. Peter is at home and he has a dream. He has a dream about food. For us, it would be delicious food. He dreams about, you know, steak and lobster and all of these things and bacon and a bacon wrap filet mignon. But for Peter, it was a disgusting dream. Because of his Jewish laws, these were his dietary laws, these were all animals he had never eaten. He was hungry. He's sitting up on the roof. He's having a dream, a daydream. You ever do that? He falls into a trance. They're making lunch for him, thinking about food. And God says to Peter in his dream, Peter, I want you to go kill those animals and eat them. And Peter says in verse 14, not so, Lord. No, I cannot kill those animals and eat them. I've never eaten bacon. Poor Peter. I've never eaten lobster. I've never eaten any of those that are dietary unclean according to Old Testament law. I've never done that. I can't do that. And it happens several times to get Peter's attention. And finally, what God says to Peter, what I have called clean, I don't want you calling unclean. Peter didn't understand at the time, but what God was doing was he was saying, Peter, some of your long-held prejudices and biases, I need you to get rid of them so you can take the gospel to a new group of people that has never received the gospel. That's what the dream about food was all about, and we saw all of that. And so we see that God has to work in us before he can work through us. We pick up the story where we left off, verse number 22, Acts chapter 10, verse 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear the words of thee. Cornelius' servants have arrived where Peter's staying, and they're saying, this guy up here in Caesarea said to come get you. And notice what Peter says in verse 23. Then called he them in. This would have been unthinkable. He let Gentiles come into his house and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and near friends. He had gotten together a big group of family and friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Verse 26. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Verse 28, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing. Notice that. It's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. What is Peter saying? You know this is not normal. For me to be in your house right now, for me to let you in my house right now, is not normal, but God has done a work in me so that he can do a work through me. God has changed my heart. God has changed my mind. God has changed my attitude towards certain groups of people so that I can preach the gospel to them. Verse 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I left right away and went to your house, Cornelius. I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, and he tells the story, verses 30 through 33, he tells the story and how God told him to call. And then he said, I sent, and now you've come. And he says in verse 33, the end of it, now therefore are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And again, if you've come to our church for any length of time, I don't consider myself to be a woke pastor that's constantly, you know, talking about what's on the news and all of those things. I do try to apply relevant biblical truth to what we face in our day-to-day lives. But what we see here in verse number 34, God had shown Peter, and we see what we would call racial reconciliation. And I want you to see this, two things. Number one, the end goal of this, why God did this work in Peter's heart, was not just so that people that he never would have associated with before, they could now be friends. That's not the end result. That's not the end goal of racial reconciliation according to the Bible and for Christians. Listen to me here. The end result, we're going to see it in just a minute. The end result, the whole purpose why God is no respecter of persons. We all need to confront in our own minds, how do we treat those around us, those that disagree with us of the same nationality, but they have different political leanings of the same, whatever it might be. It's not all about skin color, but all of those things that are, how do we treat those people? The goal of why the Bible says we should seek to live peaceably with all men is not just so that we can all get along. The goal is what we find in the very next verse, verse number 35. God is no respecter of persons, verse 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, here it is, verse 37, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power. He healed, which we are witnesses, continue on. It says in verse 39, he whom they slew and hanged on a tree, verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. And then it said in verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. The goal of us learning as fallen human beings to overcome our political leanings, to overcome our biases, to overcome our prejudices. The goal for all of that is not just, it's a great thing that we can get along. The goal of that is because we will never share the gospel with somebody that we cannot love the way that God loves. The goal of racial reconciliation, if you will, is to share the gospel with every tribe, nation, and tongue. By the way, the cause, the only lasting cause of any racial reconciliation is the same thing, the gospel. Why do we love one another? I look and see a diverse group of people. Why can I love everyone, no matter what their income level is, where they graduated from college, where what part of the country they were born in, what other country they were born in? Why? Not because I'm some amazing person. No, I'm fallen and sinful. But I see everyone, I should see every one of us. We are people that were created in the image of God, and our love for God gives us love for fellow man. The cure for everything that is facing us today, as we see right here, is the gospel. I know that sounds cliche, but the only way we're going to truly love people is if we know the love of God in our hearts. So it's the cure, and then it's also the goal. Why should we love people that way? So that we'll share the gospel. We have with us the Love Grove, so you can raise your hand right back there. Missionaries to Ethiopia. Why did they leave America to take the gospel to those people? There's a love. They say God has called us, and the cure of what that nation needs is the gospel. We had 2 weeks ago a missionary to Uganda. Why did he leave America to go there? For the sake of the gospel, not to bring some Americanism, no, to bring the gospel. And so we see all of these, the end goal of what the work that God had done in Peter's heart was not just that Peter would tolerate everyone else. The end goal was Peter, love everyone enough to give them the gospel. I want you to get rid of those things you held in your heart to give them the gospel. And the gospel is what's going to bring those people together. If you will, finish up, by way of introduction, finish this up, and then I'll give you a couple of thoughts. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed were astonished. Peter's witnesses, his friends that he brought with him, couldn't believe it. Gentiles were getting saved. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It blew their mind. God can do the same thing for the Gentiles that he did for the Jews. That's a new thing in this time in history. It blew their mind. They were amazed. Verse 46, for they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. What we see here was an event parallel to Pentecost. Remember Pentecost when Peter stood up and preached and Jews from every nation and tribe and tongue, we preached from that passage last Sunday on Open for Business. Jews from every nation under heaven came to know Christ, remember that? And Pentecost and what happened, the Holy Spirit came and we saw people get saved, we saw people baptized and then disciples being made. This is the Gentile Pentecost, if you will. The Holy Spirit's coming to a new group of people. They're getting saved, they're getting baptized, and they're being made disciples. And so we talk about a new chapter of gospel impact. And I really believe that God is leading our church, and I pray our world, into a new season of gospel impact. What does it take to have a new season of gospel impact? In Cornelius, we see it took a new people, the Gentiles. In Peter, we see it took a new preacher. And there are some things that God often has to change in us before he can work through us, in, then through. I want to give you four thoughts, and I know you've got kids sitting with you, so I'll try to, my first point will be my longest, and I'll get through the last three in less time than it takes me to do the first one. First point, if we are going in, then through, the work that God needs to do in us so we can make a bigger impact through us, number one, he has to change our treatment of others. Again, these points, these slides were preached May 3rd, long before anything that happened in the last month. God's word is relevant to what we face today. If the gospel's going to go forth, he has to change our treatment of others. This passage, Acts 10, is the answer. We have people on the news. There's talk shows, celebrities. What's the answer? What can we do? How can we affect change? This is the answer, Acts 10. He has to change our treatment of others. Look at verse number 23, the first half of it. It seems like an inconsequential line in scripture, but it's packed with so much meaning and truth. Verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them. Peter welcoming Gentiles, Romans. The Jews hated the Romans. They were the occupying force. They did not like those people. He called a Roman, a Gentile, into his house, multiple of them, and lodged them. Remember when they talked to Jesus and they said, he eats with sinners. Remember that? He eats with publicans and sinners. Just eating with somebody like that was a very big social snafu in Jesus' day. It's one reason. And Jesus, he changed the mentality. He changed the thinking. This was a big thing. Peter called them in and lodged them. He didn't just have a meal with these Romans. He didn't just have a meal with these Gentiles. He let them stay the night in his house. And God, by the way, back in verse 14, earlier in that chapter, I don't believe that would have happened. Peter, when God said, go eat that food, not so, Lord. God had to do a work in Peter before he could do a work through Peter. God had to show him what you have called unclean, I call clean. And Peter, he talks in his testimony, I learned that God is no respecter of persons. God died for the whole world. God loves you. I want to preach the gospel to everybody that I can. And before he uses us to reach others, he has to change the way that we treat them. It would have been unthinkable for a Jew to invite a group of Gentiles into his home. And that's the mindset that Peter had grown up with. It's how he had always lived. He didn't fraternize with those people. They were beneath him. And we saw again in last week's text, not so, Lord. But if we're going to reach more people, if our world's going to find the peace that we crave, the love that we long for, God is going to have to change all of our thinking. Red, yellow, black, brown, white, they are all precious in his sight. And I don't care what country you were born in, what state you were born in. If we're going to see the answers that we're looking for, that people are trying to find everywhere, it's going to start right here where God is no respecter of persons. He has to change our thinking toward others. Because here's the truth. We will never reach those we cannot truly love and respect. That slide was made on May 3rd. It's not a new truth. This is not me trying to figure out how to address the events of this day. This is me going back to get context to move into Acts 11 and being blown away. God, you prepared our hearts there and feeling like the Lord would have us to be reminded of these truths with all that's taking place today. Our nation is divided. I don't think there's any arguing that. There are people that are angry. There are people that are fearful. Some think that the virus is a hoax and want everything opened up today. Others think the nation should stay closed until the end of the year, and opinions ranging everywhere in between. And if you want to know what somebody thinks, just go on social media and ask, and they'll let you know. On the news and on social media, we see people bashing President Trump, and then we see people praising President Trump. You can find people who hate Governor Newsom and millions who supported him enough to vote him into office. Some seek to support and defend law enforcement. Others criticize and attack and call for the abolition or defunding of police. I personally thank God for our first responders who put their lives on the line for our citizens on a daily basis. And may I add, And when one is corrupt or abuses his power, I support justice being done and consequences for those actions. As one lady that was first time she was ever here was last Sunday, we were talking, her husband is a law enforcement, and she said, this is what she said, my husband always says, no one hates bad cops more than good cops because they cast a shadow on all of them. But we see divisions and tensions, rioting and looting. Some online will post that Black Lives Matter, and a friend or a relative or a fellow church member in response will post, well, Blue Lives Matter. And others will say, well, all lives matter. And our rhetoric further divides neighbor against neighbor, friend against friend, relative against relative, church member against church member. Well, which one do you think is true, Pastor? I think that Black lives do matter. And I think that Blue lives do matter. And I think that all lives do matter. And what? Which one do I think? I think that all of those matter because God made every one of them in his image. And I understand there are some political undertones to all three of those statements. I'm not aligning with any of those political undertones. Take that statement for what it's worth. Every one of those black, and if there are black lives that feel that they do not matter, that we as Christians that have the love of Christ need to let them know they do matter. And if there are law enforcement that feel that their lives do not matter and they're not appreciated, when you see them, they need to know, as Christians, your life does matter. Every person matters. Why? Every person matters, and God made every one of them. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Every person matters because every person will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. And every person needs to be told that they matter so much that Jesus gave his life to die for them. Christian, this is where our focus should be. We get so distracted, much like some of the Jewish believers in the book of Acts. We get worried, so distracted with California politics and American politics and this and that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be informed. I'm not saying we shouldn't stand for truth. I'm not saying we shouldn't vote biblically and vote for those that support biblical principles. I'm not saying any of those things, but I'm saying far more important than any of those things is to proclaim the name of Jesus to a hurting and dying world. All of us need to be careful, because sometimes while fighting for our paradigm to be heard, we lose the opportunity for Jesus to be heard by those we are fighting with. Can I say that statement one more time? That one wasn't in the May 3rd message. I added that one this week. Sometimes while fighting for our paradigm to be heard, we lose the opportunity for Jesus to be heard by those we are fighting with. Christian, our disposition is important along with our position. We must stand for truth, but we must do it in the right spirit. We can stand for the right things, but do it in the wrong way, and that damages our witness. We must speak the truth, but speak it in love. Jesus was full of grace and truth. How did Jesus treat those he disagreed with spiritually and politically? Again, all of that written a month ago. How did Jesus do it? With grace and truth, with love. He loved them. He didn't talk to them, well, what do we have in common? No, what we all have in common is our need for Jesus. I want all of us to remember and be reminded of, you will never look into the eyes of someone that God does not love. Be kind. You will never interact on social media with someone that God does not love. Be Christ-like. You will never argue with someone that God does not love. Seek to be a peacemaker. You will never work with someone that God does not love. Show the Spirit of Christ. You will never get cut off in traffic by someone that God does not love. That might be going a little too far. I'm not sure. Everybody has the test of their limits. But sometimes, if we're not careful, there are people, and again, this was preached before any of us had heard any of those names. I preached this exact statement. Sometimes, if we aren't careful, there are people that we think are beyond saving, and it could go into politics. I'm a diehard conservative, you might say, and so those liberals are destroying our nation. And again, there are political battles to be fought. I think as Christians, we should be salt and light, and we should support candidates that are standing for truth and right. I'm not saying we remove ourselves from the public consciousness, but I am saying, sometimes in our attempt to do that, we can start to create divisions, and there are people we think that's beyond saving. Well, God must hate that person because of what they're doing, and God must, that person that doesn't wear a mask, they must hate everybody. That person that does wear a mask, they must hate America. Neither of those things are true, and we find so much to divide over. This is all a government conspiracy, or this is the, we do all these things. And again, you go ahead and get informed and read and do all of that. But while you're getting informed on temporal things on earth that do not matter for eternity, make sure you do not lose sight of the fact that every person you come into contact with is an eternal soul that will spend eternity in heaven or hell. And you might be the only Christian they come into contact with. I read yesterday a social media post. I've never met the man. He's a youth pastor in a Baptist church in Michigan. We have some common friends, but I've never met him. He's a black man. He's married to a white lady. They have two or three beautiful children, from what I can tell, on his social media feed. And I read his post. A man that I will spend eternity in heaven with, and I was convicted by his truth. I think we have a screenshot. Here's what he said, writing to his church. Church, and then he put in parentheses, specifically my church, I want you to know that you've been heard. We've heard how awesome Donald Trump is. We've heard your opinions on COVID-19. We've heard how stupid masks are. We've heard your rants on social distancing. We've heard how much you hate your governor. We've heard your opinion on Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, and All Lives Matter. We've heard your statistics on how horrible black people are because we are killing ourselves. We've heard your opinion on just about everything. And he's talking to his church family. You are welcome to post and share whatever you like. Your posts are being seen and heard. And here's what convicted me. Here's what he said. They are not being heard and seen by the governor, the rioters, or the news media. They are being seen by the nurse who went home in tears after watching COVID patients die. They are being seen by the black family in your church who has experienced racism. They are being seen by your friends, listen to this, they are being seen by your friends that do not know Jesus. You are heard, but are you worth listening to? What has he said? What has literally brought me to tears today is how we have failed to share the gospel. We've shared all kinds of other news except for the good news. We missed an opportunity. By the way, church, when Saul was persecuting the church, I preached this on May 3rd, when Saul was persecuting the church, what did Christians do? They kept loving people and preaching the gospel and let God take care of Saul. And by the way, he did, and he saved Saul. They didn't go on a rampage against Saul. You know what they did? If they had to flee their homes because persecution was coming, they fled their homes and they went and started a new church where they fled. And their priority was the gospel. Their priority was not protection from persecution. Don't stand for truth. I will vote in the elections and I will try to vote according to biblical values. But I've got to make sure that I'm not placing my faith and trust in the Republicans or the Democrats or the Libertarians or the Independents. No, there's only one that is worthy, and it's Jesus Christ. Take inventory, church family. Maybe this message is just for me and not for you, but I read my notes and my heart broke, and I thought I preached that having no idea how much I needed that. Take inventory on how you treat those you disagree with politically, spiritually, personally. That was all written on May 3rd. God had to change the way Peter treated people in order for the gospel to go forward in unprecedented ways. Can we put whoever's back there, does that matter, Jeremiah? Can we put that map of Israel up, please? You see Judea? Inside of Judea is Jerusalem. What's the one right above Judea? It starts with the letter S. What is that? What is it? Talk to me. What is it? I won't come too close. I'll stay back here. Samaria. What did Jesus say in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8? You shall be witnesses unto me first in Jerusalem. Reach your people. Then in Judea, go a little farther. Then in Samaria, then to the uttermost part of the earth. God had to work in them to get them to love Samaritans before he could work through them. By the way, Samaritans got the gospel before the Gentiles. He had to work in them so they would love Samaritans before he could work through them to reach the uttermost. What did Jesus say? Isn't it interesting? Dr. Melton, Jesus, getting ready to travel. I must needs go through Samaria. We read those words and it doesn't mean much to us. I must needs go through the place. And remember what the woman at the well said? What are you talking to me for? Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you talking to my kind? We don't fraternize. Why would you talk to me? This is, and Jesus was teaching his disciples something. Hey guys, This thing isn't just for you and those that believe like you and those that grew up like you. This thing of my truth and my life, my death, burial, and resurrection is not just for you and your little social club, your little religious club. It's for those people you don't talk to. It's for those people that you cross over on the other side and of the street you will not help. If they're, you wouldn't spit on them if they were on fire. That's who, and I must needs go through Samaria. He could have said that they should take the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea, to Perea, to Decapolis, to Galilee, to the uttermost. But Jesus told the disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. He showed them with his life. And then his commission in Acts 1:8, you need to take the gospel to those half-breeds that you think are below you. I've got to change in you before I can work through you. I gotta go fast. I'm too long here. Let me finish it up. Christian, may I suggest God will need to change the way many of us treat people. This is the message our nation needs to hear. God will need to change the way we treat people if the gospel is gonna go forward in unprecedented ways. Verses 25 and 26, Peter comes in and Cornelius begins to worship him. And what did Peter say? I'm no better than you. I'm a man like you, and I say I'm a pastor, and I do believe there's a God-ordained spiritual role of leadership there that deserves our honor and respect, but in the family of God, I don't deserve your worship. I myself also am a man, as Peter said. Pastors are spiritual leaders and servants, not celebrities. Number one, I told you that was the longest point. Number one, he has to change our treatment of others. Number two, he has to change our thinking. He has to change our thinking. Verse 28, he said, you know, it's unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation, but God hath showed me. Peter said, God showed me I should not call any man common or unclean. And I could read some other verses there, but I won't for the sake of time. What did Peter say? God showed me I had a wrong spirit towards some people. God confronted my biases in a dream. God confronted my prejudices. Liberty Church family, it's not the message I plan to preach. I actually thought about a couple weeks ago preaching. I was glad when they sent me, let's go to the house of the Lord, just a big hip hip hooray. But I think this is exactly where God wanted us in the book of Acts from 12 months ago. And God is gonna have to change, confront us if we're gonna reach the people he wants us to reach. And everything here that I'm preaching is not just a black, white, a brown, not just a skin color, just in all of it. Well, that person, that homeless person, he doesn't deserve our love. We're from Newport Beach. Well, that one over there, that one really gets on my nerves on social media. Well, they voted for the person I didn't vote for. In all of these areas, we find all these things to divide about. And what did Peter say? God showed me I was wrong. God showed me that I should not call any man unclean. God changed my heart. Are there any in here this morning, like me, convicted about some of your attitudes towards some things you've seen this week on the news or in social media? Again, I'm not saying we don't stand for justice. I'm not saying that we don't have law and order on our land. I'm not saying that those that are criminals should not be dealt with, but be careful. Be careful. Does God need to change our thinking? I'm no better. I preached on May 3rd. I'm no better because of the country I was born in, exact words that I wrote that day, the church I attended, the religious traditions I was brought up with, the areas of personal separation that I've adhered to, the training I've received, or the mentors I've had. God had to do a great work in Peter regarding his thinking before he could do a great work through Peter to reach the Gentiles. God had to change and still at times has to change my Pharisaical mindset. I'm prone to look down on those who don't believe exactly as I do. I'm prone to criticize those who are different than me in certain areas, and instead of praying for and trying to reach those who stand for a godless agenda, I often get exasperated and attack and belittle them. Those are the words I preached a month ago. How much more relevant are those words today, church? No one has ever been drawn to Christ because of our vitriolic, argumentative posts on social media. We need to change our thinking, humble ourselves in our interactions with others. I am nothing. He is everything. I must decrease. He must increase. Number three, he has to change who we are living to please. We're going to study this passage next Sunday morning, so I'm going to pretty much skip over most of this. But we see in chapter 11, Peter came back with a great report. Hey guys, a whole bunch of Gentiles got saved. And guess what? The religious leaders weren't real excited about it. You did what? You brought the gospel to Gentiles? You'll see it at chapter 11, verse 2, verse 3, verse 17. We'll go there next week. And Peter had to stay. And actually, Peter's not done because Peter's going to get confronted with some of his prejudices and biases again later on in Acts. This is a process for him. But Peter had to say, I am changed who he was living to please. There are many that we fail to reach because we are worried what someone else will think about us if we do something they don't approve of to reach those people. When I came here 5 years ago, Pastor Tomlinson had a little business card, and I didn't know it when I had the thought for my business card, but I got here and found out he had a little business card that he put in every note. If you've been in the church for any length of time, you got that little card in your note. And kids, you guys are doing awesome. I'm preaching too long. Lord willing, we're going to have children's services soon. Give me maybe 5 more minutes, all right? But if anybody out there got a, what's the 2 little words on that card? What did it say? What did it say? Don't quit. He put it in every card he did. When I was coming down here and I thought about it, and I was trying to kind of get a personal mission statement, if you will, as a pastor, and something that would, on my business card, I think we have a picture of it. Every business card that goes in something on the back, it says that he may please him who hath chosen him. And I want it to be a reminder, Ryan, as God places you in that position of spiritual leadership, your goal is not to please the people of the church. Your goal is not to please the community. Your goal is not to please your mentors. Now, your goal is not to dishonor or displease any of those people. That's not my agenda. But your priority is what you're doing pleasing him? Is what you're preaching pleasing him? Is how you're leading pleasing him? Is how you're treating people? And I wanted that before me every time I handed that out. That's what God had to show Peter. Peter, you're not going to make everybody happy when you preach to the Gentiles, but preach to the Gentiles anyways. I did a work in your heart so that I could do a work through your life. Please him. You'll hear me often on a Sunday night, back when we used to have Sunday night church like 4 or 5 years ago, however long ago that was. You'll hear me say at the end of the service often, may our words, our thoughts, and our actions this week please Christ. I want to remind us we're here to please him. How many people have we failed to reach because we're more concerned with pleasing our fellow man and what they think about us than we are pleasing God and what he thinks of us? Number 4, he has to change our purpose. He has to change our purpose. Verse 42, notice what he learned from Jesus. He said, and he, Jesus, commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. He has to change our purpose. Peter's whole life's purpose up to that point had been to be a fisherman. It took up almost every waking moment of his life. Jesus changed all that. At this point, it's been years since Peter's purpose was fishing. And everything that we do as a church should be pointing towards sharing the good news of Jesus with everything we can. I wrote and I preached back on May 3rd, church, we cannot come out of this season with the same priorities, with the same purposes. We must have a renewed passion to serve, to love, to give, to go. May more of us volunteer to serve on a bus route so that we can reach more families in Santa Ana and Tustin and Costa Mesa. May more of us give to missions so that we can support families like this that are going to Ethiopia and Uganda and Europe and Asia and South America and Central America. May we do more for the cause of Christ. May more of us get into God's word so that we can lead a Bible study. And isn't it interesting how these past few months have so much changed our priorities and purposes? Those sports leagues that were so important have all been canceled. And I'm not happy about it because I was coaching my son Trey's 8-year-old flag football team. And I'm going to be honest, we had a powerhouse team. Seriously, coach last year and we were Bad News Bears. And this year we had some players. We played our first game, blew them out, 16 teams in the league. I'm pretty sure we were in the top 2. I was looking forward to it. You're gonna see my championship ring coming to church. All of it. But isn't it amazing how all those things that were so important don't exist right now? The season tickets we paid tens of thousands of dollars for have no value. That vacation we were looking forward to going isn't going to happen. The restaurant we couldn't wait to go to is closed. That was May 3rd. Praise God, the restaurant we couldn't wait to go to is now open. And a month ago it was closed. The event we were living for has been postponed. The hobby that took up many hours of every week has been put on hold. The party we were going to throw at our house didn't happen. Could it be, church? Could it be, you've listened well? Could it be that God is trying to show us the things that took so much priority in our lives aren't as important as we thought they were? Is he trying to change our purposes so that we will give ourselves to more Bible reading, more family time, more acts of service, more faithfulness to church, more sharing the love of Christ with others. Is God trying to change your purpose in life? God has to work in us before he can work through us. And my prayer is, as we come out of this season, that's a new season of gospel impact for you individually and for our church. But the only way that happens is if God has taught us some things through this, and we found ourselves in Acts 10 on May 3rd, and we find ourselves here again today. If we're going to come through this season with greater gospel impact, we're going to have to change our treatment of others. We're gonna have to change our thinking. We're gonna have to change who we're living to please, and we're gonna have to change, some of us, our purposes. What is God doing in you right now? What is he doing in our world right now? Is he trying to change how we treat others? I think he is. Is he trying to change how you think, like he did with Peter? Get rid of past prejudices and unhealthy thought patterns and stubborn mindsets. Wrote that on May 3rd. Is he trying to change who you are living to please? Is he trying to change your purpose? How does God want to change you? And here's the question. Will you let him? Will you let him? Peter did, and Peter became a new preacher, and because of that, God used him to reach a new people. If we will let God change us, I believe God will use us to reach some people we otherwise never would have reached. For those who think, again, well, Pastor, you're just overreacting and crafting a message because of all the news you watched this week, I just want to remind us, we started this series 53 Sundays ago, and I believe this message was exactly where God wanted us to be at this season.
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.